Welcome, everyone, to the Deep Dive. Really glad you're joining us. We know lots of you from Harmony Christian Church are getting ready for your Connect groups this week.
Yeah, exactly.
So our goal today, it's pretty straightforward. We want to take Kent's sermon from Sunday, you know, the one diving into spiritual warfare, and just unpack it a bit, make it really practical for your discussions.
Mm-hmm. It's important work, I think. We've been in this Experiencing God series for a while now.
Right.
And we've looked at things like unforgiveness, things that can block us from experiencing God. But this week, Kent really shifted gears.
Totally shifted. All about the unseen stuff working against us.
Exactly. Active forces.
And he started with that fishing story. I mean, it was such a great analogy, wasn't it? Down to the church pond?
Oh, yeah. Everyone knows that one now. Him and Peter out there.
Yeah.
Casting.
Casting.
For like an hour.
Nothing. He's thinking, this pond is totally empty.
Right. And then Bob Bowler shows up. You know Bob, that little wiry guy?
Yeah.
Casts once.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 3 minutes pass. And yeah. Boom.
Pulls in this huge bass, the biggest Kent had ever seen there.
And Kent had to face it, you know? He was just missing something fundamental.
He didn't know what was going on below the surface,
yeah.
The temperature, the fish habits, none of it.
And that's the core question for us, isn't it? For our prayer lives. Are we struggling because we just don't get the spiritual physics happening underneath?
That's the mission then, understanding mm-hmm. that deeper level. If you feel like, you know, your prayers aren't going anywhere or life's just harder than it should be.
Yeah, Kent's argument is basically that, well, maybe our understanding of the spiritual realm is just too elementary.
Clouds, naked angels, harps, that kind of thing.
Right. But he's saying it acts more like the physical realm than we maybe think. There's a kind of physics to it.
That concept really clicked for me. Spiritual physics. Like
yeah.
Gravity, right? You drop something, it falls. There are rules.
Exactly. And when God interacts with our world, these spiritual laws, they matter. Time, space, distance. They play a part, especially with prayer. And there can be, well, resistance.
So we need to grow up a bit in how we understand this stuff.
We do. And lesson one, the absolute foundation, according to Kent, is recognizing there's an active force against us, a hostile one.
Because if we miss that...
If we miss that, we make a huge mistake, a really devastating one.
We assume every bad thing, every unanswered prayer, maybe even every pain is just God doing it to us. Or punishing us.
Precisely. And Kent was asking, what if that's not God? What if we're blaming a loving father for the work of destructive enemy? We have got to see the enemy is real, active, not just, you know, some old story.
And you use that video illustration, remember, the kid in the shower, that viral one from years ago.
Oh my gosh, yes. The 14-year-old scrubbing and scrubbing, facing the wall.
Trying desperately to get the shampoo out.
With the whole joke is his friend is just off camera, secretly squirting more shampoo on his head the whole time.
And the kid never turns around. He just keeps scrubbing harder, thinking he's the problem or the shampoo is.
It's such a picture, isn't it, of us sometimes.
Totally. Running up against the same sins, the same frustrations, the same negative thoughts.
Scrubbing away furiously.
Instead of just turning around and dealing with the source that keeps putting the problem back on us.
And this isn't just like a feeling. Scripture backs this up.
Yeah.
Kent took us straight to Daniel, chapter 10.
Right. Daniel's praying, fasting, 21 days, nothing,
yeah.
Silence.
Can you imagine? That must have felt awful. But then the angel shows up.
And what he says is just mind-blowing. He says, since the first day, your words were heard, and I came because of them.
So the answer was immediate. God heard right away. The angel was dispatched right away. But
yes.
The angel says, but the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days.
Wow. There it is. Clear as day.
Yeah, this isn't just like a slow messenger service. This is a real spiritual being, an evil one, actively fighting to stop God's answer from getting through.
So if you're sitting there in Connect Group this week wondering why you've prayed for something for ages,
mm-hmm.
this totally reframes it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It might not be God saying no. It could actually be the enemy causing a delay,
yeah.
Winning a temporary battle.
It's that microwave versus crock pot thing Kent mentioned. We want the instant microwave answer.
Always.
But sometimes there's warfare involved. It's more like a crock pot.
Yeah.
There's a process, and sometimes resistance is part of that process. The enemy is actively trying to keep that prayer from being answered.
And if we don't see that, if we don't see the Prince of Darkness involved,
you just end up blaming God for the wait, which is exactly what the enemy wants.
Okay, so the enemy is real, active, resisting. What do we do about it? Like, day to day.
Well, that leads right into Ephesians 6, verse 12. Paul's really clear here. He says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood.
Not against people.
Not ultimately. And that's huge, right? Especially thinking about, I don't know, that difficult family dinner coming up or issues at work.
Oh, yeah. We brace ourselves to deal with Aunt Carol or that boss.
We focus completely on the person, the difficult personality.
But Paul says, look deeper.
Exactly. Those people, their actions might be influenced, or even, as scripture suggests, they might be kind of captive to spiritual forces. You know, non-Christians are described as slaves to sin. Satan's called the god of this world.
So the fight isn't just the person in front of us, it's the spiritual thing maybe working through them.
That's the idea. And Kent shared his own story about this, remember, with the counselor.
Yeah, the counselor just asked him point blank, what do you believe about spiritual warfare?
And Kent had this moment of honesty. He said, well, I'd claim to believe in it.
I don't act like it.
Right. He realized his prayers, his actions, they didn't match his supposed belief. He was still just trying to argue better or work harder.
Still scrubbing in the shower.
Exactly. Instead of turning around and praying against the actual spiritual source of the trouble,
yeah.
He said things only really changed when he started praying against the enemy for the reals.
Okay, so this is where it gets super practical for connect groups. Identifying the attack. Kent talked about looking for the rotten fruit.
Yes. Jesus said you'll know them by their fruit. So what does the enemy's work produce in us?
First one he listed, despair. That feeling of being totally helpless, completely hopeless, like you're just sinking.
Right. It makes you feel defeated, paralyzed.
But God's counter to that isn't happiness. It's
desperation for him. And that's a key difference. Despair makes you wallow. Passively.
Yeah, you just feel stuck.
But desperation is active. It says, okay, I absolutely cannot do this on my own. I have to run to God completely. That's the shift we need. Despair to active, desperate reliance.
And we need that little caveat Kent threw in, right?
Yeah.
Not every feeling is spiritual.
Huh. Yes. That sudden, intense craving for homemade cookies and cream ice cream.
Probably just means you're hungry.
Probably. Got to learn to tell the difference between a bad mood or a craving and actual spiritual oppression.
Okay, second rotten fruit. Condemnation.
Ugh, yeah. This one usually hangs around sin. It feels like death inside. Heavy shame, crushing guilt.
And it makes you want to fix it yourself, right? Hide from God until you're good enough.
Exactly. It isolates you. But God's response isn't condemnation, it's conviction.
Which feels different.
Totally different. Condemnation pushes you away from Jesus. Conviction says, yeah, that was wrong. Now turn around, come back. Jesus is right here, ready. He's the God of second chances. It leads to change, not away from the only one who can bring it.
The enemy wants us stuck, scrubbing, feeling condemned. God uses conviction to lead us out.
That's the core difference. Okay, third rotten fruit.
Hopelessness.
Oh, hope.
Especially that internal voice, that negative self-talk.
Oh, yeah, you're an idiot. You always mess this up. This is never going to change. That kind of stuff.
It's soul-crushing language.
It really is. And God's counter, it's hope. Specifically, hope for a future. Jeremiah 29.11 stuff.
And Kent gave that really practical advice. Break the agreement.
Yes. When that voice starts, you actively stop it. You don't just ignore it. You confront it. You say out loud or in your head, no, that's a lie. The truth is, I'm adopted by God. I'm his child. I'm not defined by my mistakes. I belong to Christ.
You refuse to let those lies stick. It's like an act of spiritual defiance.
It is. It's taking authority over those thoughts based on the truth of who you are in Christ.
So if we see this rotten fruit, despair, condemnation, hopelessness,
yeah.
We know it's likely an attack.
And that understanding naturally leads us to Paul's answer in Ephesians 6, starting verse 13. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground.
Okay, the armor. This is the practical gear up part, and the emphasis is on putting it on because the battle is coming. We need to be ready.
Exactly. Preparedness. Let's walk through the pieces like Kent did. First, the belt of truth.
Paul says, gird your loins, which sounds a bit weird today.
Huh, yeah. But for a Roman soldier, it meant tucking his tunic into his belt so he wouldn't trip while fighting. It was about readiness, securing everything.
So spiritually.
It means binding your life up in God's truth. Holding everything together with what's actually true. Like Kent said, if you're fighting condemnation, you need specific scriptures written down, ready to counter that lie. That's your belt.
Okay, next. The breastplate of righteousness.
This protects the vital organs, right? The heart. Kent said this is about doing right. Practical action.
It's not just about feeling righteous, but acting righteous.
And exactly. If you're stuck feeling sorry for yourself, maybe the righteous action is to get up, Stop focusing inward and go serve someone else. Go play with your kids. It protects your heart by getting it aimed in the right direction.
Then, feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace.
This is about being stable, ready to move, ready to share the good news. Our foundation is the peace we have through Christ, which equips us for the conflict.
All right, the big defense of peace, the shield of faith. Paul says it extinguishes all the flaming arrows of the evil one.
All of them. And Ken emphasized this isn't passive. You have to actively use it.
Like his personal practice.
Yeah, praying. There's basic core truths. Jesus, I believe you lived. I believe you died for my sins. I trust you with my life. I put myself under your sacrifice. Those simple declarations of faith spoken out, that's actively lifting the shield against specific attacks.
Okay, covering the head. Yeah. Helmet of salvation.
Super important because the mind is such a battleground, isn't it? Hopelessness, lies, accusations, they target the mind.
So the helmet is.
It's constantly remembering and reminding yourself, I am saved. I am loved. I am chosen by God. My eternal destiny is secure. You preach that truth to yourself over and over to protect your thinking.
And finally, the only offensive weapon. The sword of the Spirit.
Which Paul says is the word of God.
We gotta know it.
We absolutely have to know it. Kent called it doing soul drills. Because remember, Jesus fought Satan in the desert using only scripture.
And Satan quoted scripture back, didn't he? Twisted it.
He did. Which shows why we can't just vaguely know about the Bible. We need to know it well enough to use it accurately, offensively, just like Jesus did.
Wow. Okay. That's a lot to chew on for the Connect groups.
Definitely. The challenge really becomes... recognize that rotten fruit when you see it in your life, the despair, the condemnation, the hopelessness, and then don't just sit there, gear up, use the armor, attack the root of the lie with the truth.
It's about moving from just being aware of the battle to actively engaging in it, maturing spiritually.
It really is. And that brings us to that that really sobering passage Kent ended with, Luke 22. Jesus talking to Peter.
Yeah, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you like wheat.
Chilling, isn't it? And notice Jesus doesn't immediately say, no way, Satan, you can't touch him.
He doesn't block it. He allows the sifting.
He allows it, but he immediately follows up with, but I've prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail.
So the battle is real. It's permitted sometimes, but Jesus is interceding for our faith through it.
Exactly. And even though that sifting happens, we're not powerless. Remember, Jesus gave us authority. He spoke directly to demons. Kent was pushing us to realize we can stand in that same authority. We can speak directly to the lies, to the forces opposing us. Death, you have no hold here. Condemnation, I reject you in Jesus' name.
We have authorization to fight back.
We absolutely do. So the big takeaway, the question to wrestle with in your groups, goes back to Kent's own realization.
What do you really believe about spiritual warfare?
And maybe more importantly, do you act like it? Are you still just scrubbing away at the symptoms? Or have you finally turned around to face the source, geared up for the real battle? That's the challenge.